This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
The extent to which Yirah Shamayim, fear of Hashem, awareness of Hashem, is the most fundamental element in a human being's progress in spiritual achievement. We talked how it was really the most primitive of achievements on the one hand, the easiest to achieve, and yet on the other hand, in its higher levels one reaches the absolute greatest heights. And that it was through Yirah Shamayim that the whole process is set into motion. We talked about the acquisition of Yirah Shamayim, and that's how really relatively natural. Even an animal has natural fear. And a human being too, if he has his eyes open to what is occurring around and about him, will have natural fear of the Ribbono Shel Olam. What we're going to look at this evening is the more subtle question, the more difficult question of the sustenance of Yirah. It's all very well to acquire Yirah. Anybody can acquire Yirah. You get a fright, you get a shock, and you get scared. A person suddenly told that his health is not in order, gets a shock, he gets shaken up, and for a while he starts davening a little bit better and giving a bit more tzedakah, and things start getting better, and he doesn't feel it anymore, and he's making progress, and slowly he goes back to his old ways. The effects of fear are very dramatic, but very short-lived. They're really there as long as the fear is there. And one can get used to danger, to the point that although the danger is no less, one somehow ceases to be quite as scared of it. There's another question which emerges from the most amazing Tana de Be'eliyo. In the first perek on Bereishis, Tana de Be'eliyo says, Lo yikosavti lochem b'seirosi lo yomush sefer ha-teiru hazeh mipicho. Did I not instruct you that this sefer Torah of mine should never be absent from your mouth? That you've got to be learning day and night, all day and every day, all night and every night? Afal pi she'atem oisim melocha kol sheshes yomim, even though you work all the 6 days of the week, Shabbos yaseh kulo Torah. Shabbos should be made entirely for Torah. Seems to be a suggestion in the Tana de Be'eliyo that if Shabbos is all for Torah, it's as if one can be mekayim the posuk of Lo Yomush Sefer HaTorah Hazeh Mipicho, that this Sefer Torah should never be absent from your mouth, even though the other 6 days of the week one's not involved in Torah necessarily. So the two things that interest us this evening are the sustenance of continuous Yirah Shamayim. How do we make sure that we continue to be God aware, that we continue to be fearful of the consequences of our actions all day, every day, right throughout our lives? How do we make sure that we don't fall into some kind of relapse, into a stage where we cease to be afraid of it? And how are we mekayim the posuk of Lo Yomush Sefer HaTorah Hazeh Mipicho? How do we keep sustenance? How do we keep continuity in the learning of Torah when there's so many other things that we have to do with our lives as well? Now the first question is really answered in the parasha. It's just a matter of trying to understand the answer. Torah tells us, Aser to Aser is kol tvuas zarecho. You shall take maaser, a tithe, from all the produce of your fields. Hayotze hasode shono shono, that which comes out of your fields year by year. And this maaser is not the normal maaser which goes to the levy, but this is maaser sheni. The second maaser. What happens with the second maaser? The ochalto lifnei Hashem Elokecho. This you shall consume. You don't have to give it away. This is for you to consume, this maaser sheni, before Hashem your God. Bamokom asher yivchar the Shakin Shemeshom, in the place which Hashem will choose to put his Shechina there, in Yerushalayim, Maisar de Goncho Tiroshecho v'Yitzorecho, the Maiser, the type of your corn, your wine, and your oil, Uvechoyrois Bekorcho v'Tzoynecho, and the firstborn of your cattle and your sheep, Leman Tilmad Leyirois Hashem Elokecho Kol Hayomim, in order that you should learn to fear Hashem all the days of your life. Rebellia Lopian learns from here that you see that Yiro needs to be learned. It's not a natural emotion. And I think we need to take a different line. We established already that the basis of Yiro is natural. Higher levels of Yiro have to be acquired. That's not natural. But the basic level of fear, that's something quite natural. But the Chiddush here, what is it that you have to learn? Laman Tilma, that you shall learn LeYiro Es Hashem Elokecha Kol Hayomim, to fear the Ribbono Shel Olam all of your days. That's what needs learning. To have fear, anybody can have fear. You say boo and a person jumps. No, it's a reflex. But to have fear Kol Hayomim, to remain continuously fearful. And I'm not going over the whole concept of fear, and we're not talking about a depressive or an oppressive fear, and we're not talking about a psychotic fear. We're just talking about awareness of the consequences of one's action, a sense of responsibility more than fear in the literal sense of the word. That seriousness, that sense of responsibility, which is Yiro, how does one keep that at all times? How does one retain and maintain an awareness of the Ribbono Shel Olam, LeYiro Es Hashem Elokecha? That needs Laman Tilmad. That needs to be learned. That needs to be acquired. That's not natural. How do you do it? From giving Ma'aser Sheni. From taking tithes. Specifically the tithe of Ma'aser Sheni, which has to be consumed in Yerushalayim. And that seems a very simple formula. So you take 10% of your produce and you go and eat it in Yerushalayim and you'll have Yerushalayim. What's it all about? The basis of it is a Sifri which Tosfos quotes in Bava Basra Daf Kaf Aleph. The Gemara is talking about the Pasuk Ki Mitzion Tetze Torah. The Torah will come out of Zion, of Tzion, Yerushalayim. And on that basis, there was a period in history where they used to have, all the schools were in Yerushalayim. They didn't have schools in every city. All the Talmud Torahs and the yeshivas were all in Yerushalayim, and children used to be taken to Yerushalayim to learn. It was later on that schools and chadorim were established in every town. Why is Tzion special? Why does Torah come from Tzion? Because a man used to see exceptional kedusha, holiness. And the kohanim involving themselves in the avodah, in the Beis Hamikdash, when you used to go to Yerushalayim, when the child would go to Yerushalayim to learn, what would he be exposed to? Kedusha gedoyla, to extreme kedusha. And kohanim busy in the avodah. He directed his heart still more to Yerushalayim, the Lilmo Torah, and to learn Torah, Kedudashinan B'Sifri, as the Sifri says on this Pasuk, Laman Tilmoed Leyiro, in order that you should learn to fear Hashem. Godol Ma'aser Sheni, Ma'aser Sheni is a great mitzvah, says the Sifri. Shemevi Lidei Talmud, because it brings one to learning. Since a man used to stay in Yerushalayim, how long did he stay until his Ma'aser Sheni was consumed? That was a long time. His Ma'aser Sheni, that's a tenth of his produce. He had to eat himself. He and his family. It wasn't a question of just giving it away. He and his family had to use it up. That took him a while. And while he was there consuming his Ma'aser Sheni, and he looked around in Yerushalayim, everybody was involved in Melechet Shemayim, in Hashem's work. people were learning and teaching and involved in the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash. That is Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is not a place of industry. Yerushalayim is not a place of agriculture. The industry of Yerushalayim is Avodas Hashem. That's all one encounters there, all one should encounter there. He too was infected with this feeling of Yerushalayim and involvement in Torah. It used to influence him too, and so he used to dedicate himself more to it as well. So here we begin to see already the mechanism of how this mitzvah of Ma'isa Sheni affected one's Yerushalayim. It says in the Torah, Laman Tilmad L'Yiro, it wasn't just the giving of Ma'isa Sheni, it was the fact that you went to Yerushalayim and you sat there and you were exposed to life in Yerushalayim. You were in Yerushalayim not just as a passing tourist, but you lived in Yerushalayim for a period of time, and your exposure to the lifestyle in Yerushalayim ensured greater levels of Yerushalayim. Good, that explains to us the connection between the mitzvah and the Yerushalayim, but it doesn't yet explain to us how this teaches us perpetuity of Yerushalayim. How does it teach us to maintain it and to retain this Yerushalayim constantly? There's a little bit more detail in the Sefer HaChinuch. In Parshas Chukas, in Parshas Bechukosai, Mitzvah Shin Samach, where he talks about the mitzvah of Ma'aseh Behemah. Ma'aseh Behemah is tithing the animals. Every tenth animal also had to be taken to Yerushalayim and consumed there. And there he gives the Yesod, the Sefer HaChinuch gives the Yesod of what the whole purpose is. And it's based on the Sifri also. Mishorshe HaMitzvah, the reasoning of the mitzvah, Shehakel Baruch Hu Bochar Ba'am Yisrael, the Ribbono Shel Olam chose Israel, the Chofetz Laman Tzidkoi, and he wanted, in for the sake of his righteousness, Liyos Kulam Oiske Teirosoi, that all of them should be dealing in Torah. That every Jew should be involved in Torah. The Yodei Shemoi, understanding of the Ribbono Shel Olam's name, uvechochmosoi, moshchom bechochmazu, and in his wisdom, he attracted them to this wisdom, leman yilmudu yikhu Musa, in order that they should learn and take Musa. Ki yodea elukim, for Hashem knows, Shereiv b'nei Adam nimshochim achar hachomer hapochus, v'shegam hu bosu. But most people are attracted after material things, since after all they are also flesh and blood. V'lo yitnu nafshom be'omal hatoyro uve'isko tomid. And most people are not going to apply themselves to continuous learning of Torah and involvement in Torah. The Baruch Hashem knows that and expects no difference. On the one hand, he wants everybody to be permanently involved in Torah. On the other hand, the way he created us is that not all of us are likely to do that or are capable of doing that. It's not going to be that way. Al-Kaim Sibev Bitvunosu, therefore he arranged in his wisdom, V'nosan lohem mokoim, and he gave them a place, Shiyedu hakol divrei teirosu, al-kol ponim, that at least they will all know the words of his Torah, She'en sofek ki kol odom nimshach likvua dirosoi b'mokom shemamoino sham. Clearly, every person is going to establish his home in a place where his business interests are. He's going to live where he can make a living. That's the first requirement of a place where one lives. One must be able to earn a living. Lochein, therefore, b'ha'alois kol ish ma'aser bokar v'tzoyin shono shono. When a person brings his ma'aser bokar, his tithe from the animals, or his ma'aser sheni, year by year, b'makoyim she'esek ha'toyro v'hachoch moshom, to the place where the learning of Torah and wisdom is seated there, v'hi Yerushalayim, and that is Yerushalayim, she'shom ha'sanhedrin, where the Sanhedrin sits, yoidei das u'mevinei moda, those who know the Torah and understand knowledge, u'chamoichei na'le l'sham ma'aseh tfuaseinu b'arbo shnei ha'shmito. And so also we'll take our Ma'aser Sheni that we're discussing in our parsha, 4 out of the 7 years, which is how often one has to go to Yerushalayim for Ma'aser Sheni, Kemo she'yadua she'Ma'aser Sheni ne'echal sham, as it is known that Ma'aser Sheni is eaten in Yerushalayim. V'chein neto rivay she'ne'echal sham, al kol ponim az yelech sham, bal ha'momin. At least then, the owner of the money, the balabos, will go to Yerushalayim. What's he going to do in Yerushalayim? He's going to sit there until his food is finished. And Saul Kirzner hadn't yet had business rights in Yerushalayim. So what's there to do while he's eating up his produce? He learns Torah. That's what goes on there. Well, Yishlach Shom Echod Mibonov Shehilmud Sham. Or if he can't make it, he'll send one of his children to go and eat the Maaseh Sheni there and learn Torah there. Be'ein Nizam Boyson Peris, and they will live, they will be supported by this produce. So immediately we begin to see, this is along the lines of the Sifri, a person goes, what the Torah has established here is a system whereby for a large part of the year, every family has at least one member sitting in Yerushalayim. It could be one member sitting there the whole year, because the Maaseh Sheni, not one person is going to take a long time to eat it all up. Or it's the whole family is there for a part of the year, involving themselves in Talmud Torah. And as a result of this, there will be in every single Jewish home ish chacham yodea ha-Torah. At least one man who knows the Torah. There will be one Talmud Chacham in every home, because every home will be supporting one of its members in Yerushalayim. Asher b'chachmaso yelamed kol beis oviv, who in his wisdom will teach all the house of his father. Uvechein, and in this way timolei ha-oretz das es Hashem. The land will be filled with the knowledge of Hashem. Ki im chacham levadi yebayir, afilu asori yiyu. Because if there's just one Talmid Chacham in the town, or even if there's a minion of Talmidei Chachamim, harbe bnei adam shebeir v'kol shchein anoshim v'hayelodim shelo yavoyu lifneim. Ki im pa'am achas b'shana. Many people in the city will only have contact with this one, or with this ten, or with these ten Talmidei Chachamim once a year, and certainly the women and children won't have contact with him. And even if they listen to a shiur of his once a week, they'll go home and they'll forget everything that they learned very soon after they get home. But if there's a teacher in every home, living there day and night, and he will warn them always and teach them, as yukulum anoshim v'noshim v'yelodim, then all men, women, and children, muzhorim v'imdim, will all stand alert and aware to Torah, v'lo yimotze b'neim shum devar chet, and there will be no sin among them. V'al yedeze yizkulum ashekosu v'nosati mishkoni b'teichichem v'yisem li la'om v'anechi eye lochem v'elukim. And by this will be fulfilled the verse, and I shall place my presence among you, and you shall be for me as a nation, and I shall be for you as a God. This relationship, this intimate relationship between the Shechinah and Am Yisrael, can only take place if there's someone in each family who's a Talmid Chacham. In a nation of Amaratzim, you can't have this. In a nation of Amaratzim, at best you can have that somebody comes to a shir once a week. Even once a day he'll come to a shir. But what happens when he goes home? How is he going to take that? How is he going to preserve the continuity? The very question with which we started. It's all very well to reach a moment of heights. It's all very well to become great at the last moments of Ne'ilah and Yom Kippur. It's all very well to be a bit better during Elul and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur than one is during the rest of the year. It's all very well to become terrified when the doctor says you've got to watch out, you're not well. And all of a sudden one becomes very religious, and later on one's better again and one's back to where one was. How does one retain that? How does one maintain that? Says the Chinuch, that's the meaning of the mitzvah of Maaseh Sheni. Maaseh Sheni means that every family will be supporting at least one of its members in Yerushalayim, and in Yerushalayim that member will be learning, and he'll come back home and he'll live in the home, and somebody else will go and will be supported in Yerushalayim. There will be continuous awareness of Torah in the home. The place of the Rav is not in the shul, the place of the Rav is in the home. Every home has to have its Rav. That's how the Jewish nation is meant to be constructed. That's how the Jewish nation is meant to be developed. There's an important concept here, many important concepts. Firstly, by mitzvahs alone one cannot maintain continuous Yiras Shamayim. There's a very big difference between mitzvahs and Torah, as the Vilna Gaon has said already many times in Mishle. In the beginning of Perek Beis, for example, he says, "A mitzvahs ki Torah tzorich adam vilmed yomim v'laila." When is the correct time for the mitzvah of Torah? Day and night. The whole yom azmanahu, and all of the days, it's time. One's mind is involved in Torah at all times. Lachein ol matika chamorai tomid. Aval ha-mitzvahs, af shelomad chukusel mishpotel, but when it comes to the practical mitzvahs, even if you've learned the laws of the mitzvahs, in la soisomad es bozmano shel oiso mitzvah, v'yad shetov v'liyodoi. You can't perform the mitzvah until the time comes or the opportunity comes. A mitzvah is not continuous. A mitzvah is momentary. You can't give Shabbos until Shabbos comes round. You can't give tzedakah until you've come across a poor man. Each mitzvah has its opportunity and it has its time. And in between the performing of the mitzvahs, there's a vacuum. What do we fill that vacuum with? How do we move? How do we live from one mitzvah to the next? Only with Talmud Torah. The intellect can do that. The body can't do it. The body is not eternal. The body is also momentary. It has its time and it has its place and it has its opportunity. It comes and it goes. The intellect is eternal. The intellect is that thread that can connect one action to the other, that can keep a consciousness and an awareness on something, even at times when it is not practically being practiced, not practically being done. And therefore you can have a family who keeps mitzvahs. The chinuch is not talking about rishoyim. It's talking about frum families. You can have a family where all the mitzvahs are kept, and yet there's not Yerushalayim in the family. All you need is one Talmid Chochem in the family, who's always there, who's always learning, who's always thinking in Torah, who's always talking in Torah, who's always teaching Torah. And immediately there's an atmosphere of Torah in the home. This isn't a secular home that does mitzvahs. That, unfortunately, is the problem with most of our situations. We're secular people who do mitzvahs. We're not Torah people. A Torah person is a person who's involved in thinking Torah all day and all night. A family can become a Torah family only if there's a Talmid Chochem there. And if there's somebody there who's constantly involved in deep learning and deep understanding. You might remember the Netziv in the Haggadah, where the Netziv explains the answer we give to the Chochem. Chochem asks a question, a very intelligent question. What answer do we give him? Ein maftir afata emoylo ki hilchis ha-pesach, ein maftir nachar ha-pesach ha-fikoyman. That after the Korban Pesach was eaten, you don't eat any desserts. The afikoyim, and that which we do today in memory of the Korban Pesach, that's the last thing you eat that night, nothing after that. Is that an answer to an intelligence question? Is that something to give an intellect to teach the Chochem? That you could tell the Tam, you could teach the simple man that. And the Netziv says that the nature of the afikoyim, of the Korban Pesach that's eaten at the end of the Seudah, is very interesting. Firstly, the fact that it's eaten at the end of the Seudah, and one, on the one hand, one must have eaten one's meal before. On the other hand, one must be careful that one isn't so full by the time that one comes to it that it's achilo gaso, that one can't, then one doesn't feel like it at all. So right through the meal, one's eating, one is constantly gauging. Can I have this course, or can I have a second helping, or can I have some of this, or some of that? Bearing in mind that I've got to be ready for the afikoman at the end of the meal. So right through his meal, his mind is kept on the Korban Pesach. Whereas if you would have the Korban Pesach at the beginning of the meal, once you've eaten it, it's gone. Here we have a situation where the mitzvah is preceded by a whole period of thought during which one's mind is concentrated on it. And after the mitzvah also, we don't eat anything else. For the rest of the night, the taste of the Korban Pesach remains in our mouth. And the Netziv says that is the value of Omal B'Torah, of toiling in Torah. You're not talking, so if you would learn if one learns Mishnayos, it's an important limud, one learns dinim, fine, but when one's finished learning it, it's over. It's like mitzvahs. You've learnt it, you've heard it, finished. But when you're breaking your head on understanding a difficult tosfos, when you close your gemara, it doesn't stop. If you spent a bit of time, it doesn't help if one just spends half an hour or an hour on it, but if you have a session of 3 or 4 hours of working on a tosfos, or working on a Rambam, working on a Rashi, trying to understand the Maharsho, when you close your Gemara after 4 hours, what do you think? Your mind turns off? Carries on and on and on and on. Keeps on going. While you're asleep, your mind keeps on going. You wake up in the middle of the night and it's still going on. You wake up in the morning and it's still going on. That's the beauty of Omal B'Torah. Omal B'Torah is continuous. Toiling in Torah, applying one's mind, all of one's mind, to the depths of Torah analysis, takes what would be a momentary religion, a whole lot of moments disconnected, and turns it into one continuous awareness of Yerushalayim. That's the value, that's the beauty of Omal B'Torah. not just by the way. That's why I've always said, if a person can choose between spending 2 years in yeshiva full time and then going to university, or spending 6 years in a yeshiva university where he does secular and live with a Kurdish, let him rather go to the 2 years of full yeshiva and then go to however many years of full university. He needs the time, a person needs the time in one's life where it's kuli Torah, where it's Torah day and night, all the time, so that one gets into this understanding of the continuity of Torah without a break. Here we see that even though an entire family can't be operating that way, but if one will at least have one member of every family who's a Talmid Chochem, at least one member of the family who the family supports to sit and learn, but to be present in the family also, not just to be away from the family, but also to be a part of that family, it elevates the entire family from being a secular family that does mitzvahs to a Torah-dika family, to a family that is involved in Torah. What's the discussion going to be around the table? It's going to be Torah. When there's a shaila, it's not just going to be, is it kosher or is it treif? There, the time at Chochem sitting, he'll go through it with you. Come, let's learn the sugya, let's learn the sif in Shulchan Aruch, let's figure it out together. Every shaila is going to become a shiur, not just a shaila. Every concept is going to become dialogue and discussion. There's going to be continuous, dynamic discussion and learning and involvement in Torah. All because of the mitzvah of Ma'aseh Sheni. The fact that we have to use up 10% of our produce in Yerushalayim. Some member of the family has to sit and spend that time in Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim is a funny place. It's like Sun City, the Havdil, without the gambling. Why people like Sun City? There's nothing to do but to gamble. So you feel guiltless about gambling, because what else can you do? Stuck in the middle of nowhere. Yerushalayim, Lahavdil, is a place where there's nothing to do but to learn Torah and to be involved in Yerushalayim. Stuck away, there's nothing there. That's all there is. That's Yerushalayim. The person is enveloped in that kind of atmosphere for that period of time and finds himself elevated in his Yerushalayim and able to bring it back to his home and to introduce continuity of Yerushalayim in his home. The Meshech Chochma asks that there's another Gemara which learns differently in our Pasuk. The Braisa, Leman Tilmad Liyiro Es Hashem Elokecha Kol Hayomim, says the Braisa, it's brought in Yevomus Daf Tzadigim. In order that you should learn to fear Hashem all of the days, what does it mean all of the days? That doesn't mean all day and every night and every night as we've just learned. It means Eilu Shabbosos V'Yomim Tovim. It's talking about what a Kol Hayomim, all of the days, not just all days. The days. What are the days? Shabbos and Yom Tov. And the Gemara learns from that. Then it comes to teach you dinim about Truma and Maisa for Shabbos. If you need to take Truma and Maisa before Shabbos and the food hasn't yet arrived, or you've got only a very small amount of food on Shabbos, and if you take Truma you won't have enough, can you take Truma from food which other food which you possess, which is in another town, it's not in front of you? Various dinim that the Gemara learns out of here, meaning that the purpose of Truma is to improve one's Yerushalayim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So on Shabbos and Yom Tov mustn't suffer because of Truma and Maisa. That's the basic principle. Be that as it may, the concept here of Kol Hayomim is not perpetuity and constant Yerushalayim, but Yerushalayim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. What's that got to do with it? If the whole reason for Maisa Sheni is to go to Yerushalayim and to spend time exposed to the Gedolei Yisrael, to the Talmidei Chachomim, to the yeshivas, and to oneself become involved in that learning, what's it got to do with Shabbos and Yom Tov? Says the Meshech Chochma, it's all very well while you're sitting in Yerushalayim, you'll enjoy yourself and you'll have a good time. You'll come home, and the first day you're home, you'll get up early in the morning and you'll learn the whole day just as you did in Yerushalayim, but the next day is back to work. And all of a sudden you'll find that you're now only learning a few hours a day, and then fewer and fewer hours a day, and you're just going to say to yourself, but what about Yerushalayim? I undertook to myself, I was so enamored and enraptured by what goes on in Yerushalayim, what am I doing here again? And you'll say to yourself, you know, it's all very well in Yerushalayim. They're the Kohanim. People bring them food, people support them. They don't have to worry about a thing. Of course they can sit and learn all day. And the young men sitting and learning in Kollel, they're supported, it's fine. Hire the family to support. I can't. says the Meshech Chochma, that's all very good. But what about Shabbos and Yom Tov? At least on Shabbos and Yom Tov, back at home, you are meant to live like they lived in Yerushalayim. You've got to transport Yerushalayim home on Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's when you've got Yerushalayim. It's true you can't live like they do. Yerushalayim is very intense. Yerushalayim is concentrated. Remember we had a shiur some months ago on the concentrate, on the essence. Yerushalayim is the concentrate. It's the essence. But it's diluted, and how do you bring it? How do you dilute it into your own life? Where is the concentrate in your own life? Shabbos and Yom Tov. On Shabbos in Johannesburg, or on Shabbos in Texas, or on Shabbos in Alaska, you're in Yerushalayim. That's how it needs to be. And you need to be constantly exposed to Yerushalayim itself, so that you can come back and bring that atmosphere to your Shabbos. And therefore, Leman Tilmad Yiras Hashem Elokecha Kol Hayomim is in order that you should learn how to practice Yiras Shemayim and to learn Torah all the Shabbosim of your life back home. Although you won't be able to do it during the 6 days of the week. And that's very good, but it's still not sufficient, because Lamaisa, as I say, the literal translation is Kol Hayomim. All the days, not just Shabbos and Yom Tov. And therefore there seems to be some kind of connection between the Yerushalayim that one can transport from Yerushalayim and inject into one Shabbos and Yom Tov, and the Yerushalayim throughout the week. And here I want to learn with you a most amazing Orach Chaim HaKadosh and Bereishis. To understand a little bit of what Shabbos is, if we had a clue of what Shabbos was, Shabbos would be very different. On the Orach Chaim is on Vayechulu, and he says, V'nireh sheyechaven hakosuv loyimah. It appears to me that the meaning of these psukim is al derech Imram Zal, along the lines that Chazal have said, Ki ha'olam ha'yoroifef v'royed ad shebo Shabbos. The world was hanging and trembling in a state of flux until Shabbos came. V'niskayim ha'olam v'nisyased. And then when Shabbos came, the world was solidified and took foundation and was given a foundation. But those first 6 days, the world was in a touch and go situation. Ba'akavon, and the meaning of that Chazal, ki b'yoyim Shabbos boro Hashem nefesh ho'ilom. On Shabbos, the Ribbono shel Olam created the life force of the world, the nefesh of the world. V'hu soid oimro, and that's the deep meaning when it says uva'yoyim hashvi'i shovas va'yinofash, nofash from the word nefesh. And on the seventh day, the Ribbono shel Olam rested and he gave life. He gave life to the world. Perush nishpa shefa hachiyunui b'chol hanivroim. He injected the influence of life into all of the creation. Ki kodem ha-Shabbos lo hayo nefesh l'chol hanivroim. Because before Shabbos, there was no life force to all of the bria of the creation. V'chein motzanu l'razal b'sefer HaKodesh Zohar. B'sefer HaKodesh Zohar HaTorah. Shemitnu tam l'mitzvus Hashem lomu b'yoyim hashmini. This is a beautiful chazal based on a medrash. Why do we have a bris milah on the eighth day? V'sheloi l'karev korban l'Hashem ad yoyim hashmini, and not to bring a korban before the eighth day. Ki atam hu ad over all of yom haShabbos. The reason is until a Shabbos is passed for the baby, the year bal nefesh, that he should have a nefesh. That's why we have a sholem zochet. We're not permitted to bring the baby as a korban, which is what the bris is, or to bring a korban, to bring a sacrifice, until the child or the little animal has a nefesh, has chayus, has life, real life. And until it's experienced the Shabbos, it doesn't have chayus yet, it doesn't yet have real life. Shabbos has within it the power to instill life. That's the first principle. Further on, he asks another question. V'yesh lahoyir b'zeh. One should question. She'oisim yomim kodem shebo Shabbos. Those days before Shabbos. Bameh hayo ha'olam omed. What kept the world going? If it didn't have a nefesh, how did it survive? Uchashem shehispik lichyos boisun yomim b'lei nefesh ha-shabbos ha-yom masmid v'hilich. And if it could survive for those 6 days, why couldn't it continue surviving without the Shabbos along the same lines?
That we have found that the Ribbono Shel Olam has revealed the meaning of this. In this which it says in the Ten Commandments. For God created the heaven and the earth, it doesn't say in 6 days. Doesn't say ki b'sheshes yomim osa Hashem es ha-shamayim v'soritz. It says ki sheshes yomim osa Hashem es ha-shamayim v'soritz. God created heaven and earth for 6 days. Haregilo, the Torah reveals ki b'shaat ha-briyo, at the moment of creation, lo ibora Hashem k'ach ba'ilam zulat lamoid sheshes yomim. God created the world able to survive for 6 days. That's an amazing concept. That he created the world with enough sustenance for 6 days. For reasons which he knows and Balim Kabbalah know. When is Hakim Hashem and in the Ribbono Shel Olam's wisdom, Uvolo Yom Echod. Hu Yodea La Hashem, Uvoy Beyom Chizr Hashem, Umashpia Nefesh Lo'ilom, Shiur HaMekayim Oid Shisho Yomi. And the Ribbono Shel Olam then created the seventh day, which he gave sufficient power to keep the world going for another 6 days. The Zula Zayayim, and without this day, with this day, Hoyo Ha'ilom Choriv Bigman Sheshis Yomim, the Chizel Atoyiv Avoyim, the world would cease to exist after 6 days and would return to its chaotic state. It comes out, says the Rachayim HaKodesh, that each day, each week, the world is able to survive. At this point now, Motzei Shabbos, Parashas Re'eh, the world has 6 days to go. The scientists start getting worried when they've worked out that in the X billion number of years' time, the sun's going to cool down. And they don't know quite what's going to happen, and they're getting quite panicky about it. What would they feel if we told them, and they come to us sometimes to the Bnei Torah, and what do you have to say? What's going to happen? What does the Torah got to say about that? The answer is the Torah didn't know that there was still billions of years to go. As far as we know, there are only 6 days to go. The world has 6 days left. The world has enough koyach to survive until next Erev Shabbos. Just until next Erev Shabbos. Comes Erev Shabbos, there's a Shabbos with enough potential, provided we'll handle that Shabbos correctly, to give the world another life, another span of life, of another 6 days, that's all. The world lives from hand to mouth, literally, from Shabbos to Shabbos, that's all it can survive. Firstly, that's an amazing concept altogether, and changes one's attitude altogether to the world in which we live and to the lifestyle that we live. To understand. That's it. No, one doesn't have to worry. What's going to happen in South Africa in the next 10 years? People keep on asking. The answer is, and how do you know that there's going to be a Shabbos next week? How do you know there's going to be a South Africa next week? The world's only got 6 days to live, and you're worried about South Africa in 10 years' time. Are you out of your mind? What you should be worried about is next Shabbos. Make sure that your next Shabbos is going to be kept properly, because if you don't, you'll destroy the world before 10 years. And South Africa won't have any problems at all that way. That one doesn't think about. We're so convinced the world is here to stay, and we get put out by these billions of years which the scientists give us, that we forget it's not so at all. The Ribbono Shel Olam has given us 6 days. And provided we'll keep the Shabbos properly, he'll give us another 6 days. And that's it. And the Reb Chaim goes through and he traces that since Odom HaRishon, there's never been a generation when there haven't been Shomrei Shabbos. There was Odom, and there was Shem, and there was Noach. He goes right through the generations until Avraham Avinu, Yaakov, to the time of Moshe. So it goes on that there was never a time when there was not Shmira Shabbos, where Jews were not keeping Shabbos. Should it happen, Chas v'Shalom, that there'll be one Shabbos that no Jew will keep, the world will be destroyed immediately. And the quality of the Shabbos, the number of people that keep the Shabbos and the way they keep it, affects the quality of the world for the next 6 days. And that's how the Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains the Chazal. A very beautiful Gemara. If I can just go. Kol ha-mekadesh v'omer v'yechulu
Kilu nase shutuf lakadosh baruch hu b'maaseh bereishis. Anybody who says kiddush and recites by a chulu, it's as if he is a partner with the Ribbono Shelom in the creation of the world. On the surface, these are weird words. Mishoma kazus. Who's ever heard such a thing? Shiyova odom v'yishtatev bedova shekvar nigmaro melachta. A man slaves all his life to establish a business empire, and then he brings in a partner, and all of a sudden, overnight, he's a shutef. Did you build it? Did you work all these years? The Ribbono Shel Olam has created the world, and now he tells us that we can become a partner in the act of creation by keeping Shabbos, but it's created already, it's finished. En achar ma'aseh klum. V'ma ya'aseh shutef. And what makes us partners? So he explains, the world, the creation of the world is not over. The world was only created for 6 days. Each Shabbos we recreate the world. We give the world new life for another 6 days. And in that we're shutfim, we're partners with the Ribbono Shel Olam in giving the world another 6 days in which to live. Our Shabbos gives that. The way, the manner we keep Shabbos, the quality of our Shabbos, that's what gives it another 6 days in which to operate. So firstly, it gives our whole outlook on life a little bit of a different perspective. And secondly, it gives our Shabbos a different perspective. We start living in units of weeks, not in units of years, or of decades, or of centuries. We live in units of weeks. I've got to see that the world is still around in a week's time. That's my big worry, not whether South Africa is going to be here in 10 years' time. If the world will be here in a week's time, I've done my job. Then I can leave the Ribbono Shel Olam to do the rest of it. And how am I going to make sure that the world is going to be here in a week's time? By keeping a proper Shabbos. Once that's the case, we begin to understand the meaning of this Eliyahu Rabbo. Did I not say to you in my Torah that this Sefer Torah should never depart from your lips? Even though you're involved in your work all of the 6 days, Shabbos yaaseh kula Torah. At least make Shabbos all of the Torah. And that will be good enough. A Shabbos which is dedicated to Torah is already the basis of the next 6 days. That gives the next 6 days its flavor. That gives the next 6 days its tzura. It gives it its form. It gives it its basis. Those are days of Torah. The fact that I can't manage to learn all that much during those 6 days, one has to do the best one can. Says the Tana de Be'elio, I know that you're involved in your work 6 days, and yet I told you the Torah must never be out of your mouth. You can fulfill this by making sure that your Shabbos is dedicated to Torah, because on Shabbos you're creating the next 6 days. And if those 6 days are created by a Shabbos which is totally Torah, those 6 days are also totally Torah, and your work will count as Torah, and your eating and sleeping will count as Torah, and everything that you do will count as Torah, because it's all directed and dedicated to being able to have a Shabbos of Torah, to have a Shabbos which is completely dedicated to Torah. We see the answer to the questions of continuity both lie in Torah. It's not possible to have to sustain continuous levels without one's intellect. One's emotions and one's the physical side of one's life are up and they're down, they're up and they're down. The only thing that can be constant in a human being's life is his mind. That's the only thing that, irrespective of what's going on outside, he can retain his sanity, is with his intellect. Makes no difference. We had in the it was last week's shir with Rabbi Akiva, standing and being torn to pieces by these rakes of iron that were tearing his flesh, and giving a shir at the same time. Doesn't need to bother his mind. Everything else is bothered. His emotions are bothered. His mood is affected. His body is in pain and suffering. But his mind is not affected. Doesn't need to. Nobody can take that away from us. In the talk that I gave in Cape Town on the future of the Jew in South Africa, one of the points I made was that we are affected, that our moods are affected by our environment. That's the way life is. When the sun is shining, we feel all happy and gay. When it's raining and overcast, we feel miserable and depressed. That's how it is. When gold is going down, everybody sells. When gold is going up, everybody buys. Is it logical? It's not logical. It's emotional.
But our emotions are affected by the environment. When the environment is optimistic, we feel optimistic. When the environment is pessimistic, we feel pessimistic. That, there's nothing we can do about. But we can be careful that we don't allow our moods to dictate our actions. Once we know how fickle our moods are, and we've at least got to know that we can't trust our moods, we can't make decisions on the basis of pessimism and optimism which we pick up from our environment. Our decisions have to be made with our intellect, and our intellect can remain stable. That's the only part of us that can remain stable. Everything else is affected by the environment. Only the intellect can remain stable and can remain straight. And so it's through Torah that one can join up, fill that vacuum that occurs between the mitzvahs that one performs. And so the Yiras Shamayim that has to be developed, Kol Hayomim, all of the days of one's life, that's not just on Shabbos and Yom Tov. We have a double meaning here. Kol Hayomim, the Yiras Shamayim, if we'll go to Yom Tov as our days of concentrate, days when we don't allow anything else to come into our lifestyle and to our thought processes. And from that, on the basis of that Shabbos, we'll establish the next 6 days of the week, then we've got something well established. The origin of any exercise, or the origin of any achievement, is what sets the tone for the entire achievement. It's the foundations that have to be secure, the foundations that have to be pure. The compromises need to be made all along the line. One puts up a skyscraper, there are going to be compromises all along the line. Things are going to have to be changed, things are going to have to be developed. It's not going to come out exactly as one planned. When one gets up there and one's building that 99th floor, it's not the same as one thought it would be. But there's one place where there dare not be compromises. That's down on the ground floor and below the ground. Where the foundations are laid, there dare not be compromises, because then you're compromising the whole thing. If the foundations are secure, if the foundations are straight and are pure, then the rest of the building can tolerate compromises. If you've got that little bit of concentrate, you can function the rest of the time. If you've got a Yerushalayim, you can live in a Johannesburg. If there's no Yerushalayim, you can't live in a Johannesburg. If you've got people in Yerushalayim who live day and night only with Torah, then one can live an ordinary life over here. We're going to have to make compromises here, which they don't have to make over there, but at least we have a foundation. One has a Shabbos, which is the foundation of the following 6 days. Uncompromised Shabbos. There's no reason to compromise on Shabbos. There's absolutely no reason to make any compromise whatever on Shabbos. There's nothing we can do. It's all done for us. What's been done has been done. What hasn't been done can't be done. One doesn't have to worry about one's work and one's business. One doesn't have to cook. One doesn't have to prepare. There's nothing to do but to sit, to learn, to develop, to grow. And if we'll only use our Shabbos for that, to establish pure and solid foundations for the rest of the week, we will be able to survive the necessary compromises that the rest of the week will have to entail. In fact, in South Africa, we are doubly lucky. We have 2 days. Theoretically, we could have Sunday also of Kuvi Kodesh. We could have Sunday also of an entire day dedicated to Kedusha. And I do hope that now with the Sunday morning shiur, that it won't be only the members of that shiur, but that everybody will start getting into the habit of sitting in the Beis HaMedrash at least until 10 o'clock in the morning. Past 7 in the morning until 10 o'clock, 2.5 hours in Gansan, on a day which is a gift from the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's hardly a country in the world where a Sunday is as free as it is here. In most other places in the world, you can work on Sunday, and you know what it is. When you can work on Sunday, you've got to work on Sunday, otherwise you fall behind. So there's one country in the world where it's still easy to keep Shabbos on Sunday as well. Keep 2 days Shabbos. Shabbos Sheni Shel Golius, as they call it. The second Shabbos of Chutz La'aretz. It's still a place where it can be done. There are no demands on one on a Sunday. One can sit and learn from morning till night, as if one's in Kodesh, 2 days a week. That's an unbelievable, that's 40%, isn't it? Is that right? No. What's 2 out of 7? About 30% of one's life. One can be in Kodesh without any great sacrifice. One can be learning in Yeshiva. 30% of one's life, if one's going to spend the next 30 years, you can spend 10 years in Kodesh by just spending Shabbos and Sunday learning. And people think and sit and think, maybe they should go to Yeshiva and maybe more time. True. But at least do the maximum before. What's the point of making great sacrifices to do heroic things when you could be doing so much more already now? So at least 7:30 in the morning till 10:00 in the morning, people should have their chavrusas here and should sit and learn. Maybe one day it will go longer than 10:00, but at least at the moment, nothing much happens at home on a Sunday morning before 10:00. So it's certainly a time that one can dedicate the Torah. A lot of one Shabbos. One wants to have a little bit of a rest on Shabbos, good. An hour and a half. The rest of the Shabbos should be Torah and mitzvahs. Time of learning, learning with one's family, learning with one's friends, contributing to one's family, growing oneself, making sure that one is fulfilling the mitzvah of lo yomush sefer haTorah hazeh mipicha, of not allowing the sefer Torah to depart from one's lips, at least in the foundation, at least on Shabbos. It's necessary, I think, to make mention of the fact that one of the pillars of our Yerushalayim, in the sense that we've discussed it this evening, passed away last Shabbos, the Shtaitler in Bnei Brak. There's no way really that the average Jew in South Africa can understand what we've lost, because the Shtaitler was probably the last of that type of person. And even he was not a well-known person, in the sense, very much along the lines of the Vilna Gaon that we did at Chalashudas. He used to sit in his little room. He didn't. He wasn't seen much. He didn't go out much. He didn't make statements and get involved in every political brawl that was taking place. But when he said something, nobody questioned it. Probably one of the last people that commanded the respect of the whole of Klal Yisrael. When he spoke, everybody listened. No matter who, nobody was mevatel, nobody ignored, nobody took it lightly when the Shtaitler spoke. He was a man who was so kuloi Torah, so entirely Torah, that we don't even know what it means. There was nothing else to him but Torah. Nothing else. There were no other calculations, there were no other ambitions, there was no other thought from morning till night till the next morning again. Nothing would have crossed his mind that wasn't pure, pure Torah. And when one asked his advice, or he gave an opinion, it wasn't just a rational opinion that was given. This was the Torah speaking. This was the view of the Ribbono Shel Olam. This was a living Sefer Torah of the type that we just don't have anymore. And people might think, well, I didn't even know of his existence, so what difference does it make to me? Sorry to hear that he's passed away. It's not like that. That's a bit of our Yerushalayim has been chipped away. If you don't have the Yerushalayim, you can't live in a Johannesburg. If you don't have the Shabbos, you can't live on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. There needs to be the concentrate in order for the more diverse parts of the Jewish people to be able to survive with integrity and with faithfulness. One has to be able to adapt without compromising principles. When I talked about compromise, I wasn't talking about compromising principles. The principles have to remain pure. One's compromising practice, one's compromising practical situations, because they need to be compromised. What can one do? But the principles aren't compromised, and the only way the principles can remain uncompromised is if there's a Shabbos which is uncompromised, one day in the week which is uncompromised, where halacha is kept absolutely, where davening is kept absolutely, where learning is kept absolutely, where every mitzvah of the Torah is kept absolutely, because there is no reason to compromise. There is no justification to compromise. If one compromises on Shabbos, one is demonstrating that one is a compromiser in essence. Even when there's no reason to compromise, one compromises just because one likes compromising. A person who doesn't compromise on Shabbos is at least showing wherever he can, he remains faithful. It's only where he's got to that he's got to make adjustments and he compromises. There can only be an uncompromised Shabbos if somewhere in the world there's an uncompromised Yerushalayim. And there can only be an uncompromised Yerushalayim, as the Sipurna says on our Sedra, if there are the Chachomim and the Gedolim and the Rosh Sanhedrin, those people who constitute the heart of the Jewish people. That needs to be there. And as it is, we're living in a generation that has so little left over from previous generations, so little by way of such greatness and such purity, that we can't afford these kind of tragedies. And although he was an old man, it doesn't make the blow any easier. he was needed in his old age just as he was needed in his younger age, and the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam has taken him away, we're not fit for it anymore, we don't understand how to relate to it anymore, who knows what, why, and we don't understand. But let nobody think that his passing will not affect every one of us. Let nobody think that Klal Yisrael can go on the same way without the Shtaipeler alive as it went on with the Shtaipeler alive. Every one of us is affected, the quality of Jewish life is affected, because that little chip of Yerushalayim goes, and that little chip goes, it affects the rest of Yerushalayim. The rest of Yerushalayim is affected, it affects our Shabbos. If our Shabbos is affected, our Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday is affected. And so the process of Yeridas HaDoiros, the process of deteriorating generations, continues and continues until the Mirza Hashem, the coming of the Mashiach, when things will once again be reversed.